It is Wednesday, and we have China Watch Wednesday and the new federal state of China and my wonderful special guest, Nicole Tsai. Nicole, welcome to Win Tucson.
Good morning, Kathleen. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for having me on today.
It's great. So a lot of things happening. And again, I remind people we've been doing this since March, and we may have covered some topics more than once, but there's always new twists and turns, and this week is no different. I think we should start with the Taiwan presidential election that's happening. And, I think the most pro-U.S. candidate, it now appears, has the best chance to win again. And that can't be making Xi Jinping or the CCP very happy right now. Share your thoughts about what you're seeing, Nicole.
Absolutely. So I think that the Taiwan presidential election is coming up in a few weeks. I think that it's on January 13th. And so why should American people care about the Taiwan presidential election? It's because if we have a strong Taiwanese president, we have a stronger partnership and allies in Indo-Pacific, and that serves the best American interest. So like Kathleen, you just said, the most pro-America, anti-CCP candidate, William Lai, he's leading all the opinion polls, and he's a member of the DPP, the Democratic Progressive Party. I know the name doesn't sound very good, but actually that's the most pro-America and anti-CCP party in Taiwan, and the current Taiwanese president, Tsai Ing-wen, is also part of this DPP. And so they've been advocating for Taiwan's independence from the CCP's control and influence. And that's the party or presidential candidate, I think, deserves the most support in Taiwan.
There was a unity ticket, and it appears as though that has imploded. There was rival bids, so it seems like there was some infighting inside the other side. That collapse of that joint ticket, another disappointment for Chinese President Xi Jinping. Is there any way for his candidates to recover between now and the election, or is this is there still a fight that's going to be happening over the next month or so?
Well, the proposed joint ticket between the two other party, that is KMT, the Kuomintang, and TPP, it's actually, they were brokered by the CCP proxy. The CCP want a joint ticket because these two parties are pro-Beijing, very friendly to Beijing. And so they want to have a joint ticket to defeat the pro-America candidate. That's William Lai. But that joint ticket fell apart because there was some political infight. So that's another bad news for Xi Jinping, but good news for the Taiwan people. And at the same time, the CCP authority is issuing warning to the Taiwanese people. If you chose DPP presidential candidate, you're choosing war. I mean, Kathleen, that's a blatant threat.
You can pick that president, but we're gonna rain down on you, and at least unlike Hamas, they're giving him a warning. If you do this, we're gonna come do this. But that is not how we should conduct ourselves in the world. And it is kind of like, it reminds me, having raised a bunch of children, it's like the spoiled brat syndrome. Like, if you don't give me what I want, I'm gonna have a temper tantrum. And I think that the Taiwanese are staying true to their independence. And nothing upsets Xi Jinping more, because he wants one China. And this does not help him get, and he really loses a lot of power inside the CCP if he doesn't deliver on that, because this has been his mission all along to take back over Taiwan. And I think it's really important that we as America continue to support our allies, and Taiwan is an ally of the United States. So what does it say that Xi Jinping wants to absorb them? Although we've been kind of hands off, I think it's important that we continue to support Taiwan in their independence.
Absolutely. And I think President Joe Biden did talk to Xi Jinping about Taiwan when they were meeting in San Francisco. And I believe Joe Biden stressed America's interest in the Taiwan Strait, peace and security. But I think that the words are just words. The CCP are looking at the deeds. What actions are being put in place to defend Taiwan? And so I think according to the National Defense Authorization Act, Taiwan is not getting the funding that has been approved by Congress. So we cannot be delivering empty promises to Taiwan while we're not giving them the actual support. And so that's the lack of power of deterrence, as we have already seen when, this administration told Hamas, don't, and the enemy did just the opposite thing. So that's why I applaud this Congress, especially Congressman Mike Gallagher, who chairs the House Select Committee on CCP. They have been sending very strong policy recommendations for the executive branch, for White House to take into consideration to provide more security assistance for Taiwan's self-defense against the CCP's invasion.
One of the things that Xi Jinping can't tolerate is that Taiwan would like to, they support a dialogue with Beijing, and under the premise that the island is part of China, Taiwan's ruling party insists talks can only go ahead as equals. And Xi Jinping has no tolerance for Taiwan to be equal in the world as China. And so it is where this falls apart. And to your earlier point, it tells me that, China's not being secretive about their intentions to absorb and take over Taiwan. So putting an independent, the people of Taiwan speaking loudly that they do not want to become under the rule of the CCP and China, this election is very significant, and it's significant in the world, like we saw in Argentina. I think it's really important that we support those that want to have freedom and have independence and do not want to be under communist or socialist rule. So, Nicole, we're up to our first break already. Can you believe it? It happened so quickly. So we have to take a break. And I'm Kathleen Nguyen, and you're listening to Nguyen Tucson on China Watch Wednesday. This is 10:30, The Voice, your trusted local news and talk. We will be back. We have so much more that's happening, and we want to share it with you. So stay with us. Welcome back to Nguyen Tucson and China Watch Wednesday with our wonderful guest, Nicole Tsai, from the new federal state of China, as we discuss all things CCP. So, Nicole, I'm going to shift gears a little bit. Lawmakers are now questioning, you did bring up Mike Gallagher earlier, Elite University's Chinese partnership, raising many red flags. I think that's ironic, considering the Chinese flag. The House committee focused on the Communist Chinese Party's threat to the U.S. Recently because of the University of California, Berkeley, last week over research collaboration with a Chinese institute that could provide a bridge for Beijing to siphon out U.S. military tech secrets. So we've been talking about this. Do you want to give someone who really may not have your best interest as a country, the United States of America, our military and technology secrets? And they do it for the almighty dollar. And we know now that billions of dollars have gone into many, many, not just Berkeley, but many American colleges. And that in order to avoid detection, the CCP sends money to nonprofits, and then the nonprofits donate. So this is money laundering. So what do we do to stop this corruption? I think it's co-opting our American universities for the purpose of the CCP. So please share, because this was not surprising, but now more evidence for the fact that this is happening.
Absolutely. This is extremely disturbing, and it really threatens our national security, because the CCP is using the American state-of-art research institution and professors and researchers to come up with the technology and innovation to modernize the People's Liberation Army, the CCP's military, so that they can continue to expand globally and outplace America as a world power. And so they don't have the technology know-how, but they can use the American research institutions like UC Berkeley, MIT, and Stanford, and because all of these elite American universities have become the training ground or innovation incubator for the CCP's military modernization. And I really, really applaud Congressman Mike Gallagher to start name the names, because we know that the CCP has been stealing our intellectual property, and we know that the Five Eye Intel chief met a couple of months ago in Silicon Valley and warned about the private industry, about the CCP's stealing Americans' technology. But now we know, okay, it's UC Berkeley, it's MIT, it's Harvard, it's Cornell, and so they've been partnering with the Chinese universities to do the collaboration for the CCP's military, like a patent and innovation. That's very scary.
Well, and I think it's great because Gallagher's warning that to university administrators all over the country that oversight is coming. And this is why this next election is so important. We have to put people in Congress, and we have to maintain a Republican majority. And we have to honestly have conservative values restored to this country. But for reasons like this, we cannot continue to give away our intellectual property, give away everything that we have. We are hemorrhaging money, but we are also not protecting any of the things that make our country safe and secure. And this is just another example. You know, we go back to that 40K dinner with all these corporate entities. This is a time when we have to understand that it's important that we protect our intellectual property. It is so critical. What do you think is going to happen? Because we're talking billions of dollars into our college system. And I think colleges, you know, here in Tucson, U of A is having financial difficulties. They've overspent their money. Imagine that. And ironically, they're blaming it on our the athletics department, which, you know, is expensive to run. But then do we take a deal with the CCP to make up that gap? And I think that's a university president or a board of regents looking at, you know, how do we make up this shortfall, make unsavory deals. And I think it's great that Congress is saying, if you do that, we're going to have oversight, and we're not going to make it easy for you to get into bed with the CCP.
Yeah, absolutely. We need oversight. We need transparency, because right now, their $13 billion donation to the U.S. elite colleges have been undocumented. So nobody knows who are the foreign donors, and they're concealing the information, why they have to conceal the information. And we already know that the CCP is a top donor, you know, just on the paper to the elite universities. And in Kennedy School of Government in Harvard, they have a special training program designed for training the CCP top leadership. So they have a special program to train the CCP leaders in Harvard. And so, and then when you look at the pro-Hamas, anti-Israel sentiments in these schools and universities, it has a lot to do with the foreign money, because it's, you know, our colleges and universities are being controlled by the foreign adversary power. And this is why we need stronger congressional oversight. And we need transparency to make sure that our universities are not being, transformed into a pro-terrorist group.
Well, and also companies that have been blacklisted by the Commerce Department are sitting on the boards of these companies, of the Chinese companies and of the colleges. So you've got blacklisted companies. The federal government says we cannot do business with these companies. And yet members of these organizations are sitting on our college boards. Is that not a, I mean, that's, it shouldn't, if we're not allowed to do business with them, what are they doing sitting on American colleges' governing boards? That's obscene. It's insane. And it violates the law. There's a foreign gift and law, and I can't remember what section it's under right now. And so they're breaking the law to get this influence and to get this money. And yet it goes unchecked, like so many things in this country right now. And so I think it's wonderful that the House committee focused on the Chinese Communist Party, on the CCP, is investigating. And Berkeley, that doesn't surprise me. It's University of California. It's Berkeley. It's California. Did I mention it's California? Where they just hosted Xi Jinping, right? And made it look like California was China when he came.
Yeah.
And you were there.
Yeah.
Any last comments on that?
Yes, absolutely. You know what? When we were there in San Francisco, I mean, the streets were clean. And right after Xi Jinping left the city, the homeless people came back. And so that tells people that, what the city or Sacramento state government, who's their true boss and whose order really, works. And so, and talking about the CCP's infiltration in American colleges and universities, I do have some data to share with your wonderful listeners. So according to the Foreign Affairs, the House Foreign Affairs Committee, the PRC, the CCP is the largest source of foreign donations to U.S. colleges since 2013. And then the tuition paid by the Chinese students, a lot of them have rich father working inside the CCP government, is worth more than $12 billion per year. So that's a very significant revenue stream.
Well, I was just going to say that Cornell, Harvard, and MIT raked in $13 billion in undocumented contributions from foreign donors. $13 billion.
Absolutely. Yes.
So go ahead. Yes, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No. And so I have a few more, statistics to share.
Yes.
And so even some private donors, who make donations to the universities in this country, they're actually not private. They're tied with the CCP, and they want to use money to influence the schools. And so right now, there are over 150 CCP-controlled student organizations across the American universities and colleges, and these people are taking orders directly from the CCP. For example, in San Francisco, these students, they take orders from the CCP consulates and the embassies to organize counter-protest against us, and they're the ones who are being paid out by the CCP. So imagine these students are being paid, but they're doing the dirty work on behalf of the CCP on the U.S. soil. So I think we need, very strong oversight on U.S. colleges and universities.
It's an infiltration of our institutions, right? And the huge windfall of cited money was not recorded with our U.S. Department of Education between 2014 and 2019. And Carnegie Mellon apparently was the big winner. They received the most foreign entities money in that time span of $1.47 billion. Cornell, we have rankings for sports teams. Cornell came in second with $1.29 billion. Harvard, good old Harvard, several of our former president's college, $894 million. And MIT collected $859 million. So think about that. Foreign money, not all from China, some from Saudi Arabia, some from UAE, some from Qatar. But it's important to understand that with that money comes strings, and that we need to understand what these countries are getting back in return for these unchecked donations. It is that selling of America that should be supervised. And like the Congress is saying, they are going to bring oversight to it. Is it too little, too late? Let's hope not, because we do not know, understand where these foreign students' true allegiance is. Nicole, we're up against our next break, and when we come back, we will have more to talk about. This is Kathleen Nguyen. This is Nguyen Tucson on 1030 The Voice, China Watch Wednesday. Stay with us. Welcome back to Nguyen Tucson on this Wednesday. It is China Watch Wednesday because this is the time that we spend letting you know where the CCP is, what they're doing really for their best interest, not necessarily the best interest of America. Nicole, I want to, disappointing to me, because we always bought American cars, but now American cars are being made with a lot of foreign parts. So, again, Representative Gallagher called out the continuation of Ford, and the organization, I believe, is it's CATL. I'll say cattle. I don't think that's how it's pronounced, but reports that Ford is deepening its partnership with cattle despite its ties to forced labor. And it is extremely disappointing that we are using the CCP's funded organization to make American car parts. And so what did you think about that? And shame on Ford.
It is a real shame because we already know that when American companies shift their manufacturing job to China, they're using the slave labor, the Uyghur, from the Uyghurs concentration camp. And it's the violation of the human rights. And it's also sponsoring a genocidal regime. And Ford is a, you know, a very reputable American, you know, company with a long history. And so they're going to deepen the partnership. And I wonder what makes them want to do so. I mean, does it mean that they cannot find the right worker in America, or they don't have the resources in this country? I think America is the most abundant country on the face of the earth. I cannot think of any reason why they must do business with the communist China, knowing that, you know, doing so is to sponsor a genocidal regime. So this is a huge, huge disappointment. And again, what can we do about it? And Kathleen, I know you're running for Congress, and I hope that more members in, you know, our lawmakers and in Congress and Senate will start do something about it, because people have been talking this for so many years that American people are losing their good manufacturing job, and then Chinese people are suffering from the you know, human rights abuse. But what can we do about it?
Well, we have to stop incentivizing manufacturing in foreign countries. It is okay to do that, but not with human atrocities. We have just witnessed some of the most horrific executions, murders, if you will, and it would be like putting a plant in somewhere for Hamas to run. To me, it's just insane that we would do this. But Bill Russo, who's the CEO for Ford of the Shanghai-based strategy consulting investment platform, and the former head of Chrysler in China, said that, you know, make no mistake about it, Ford will run the factory. So somehow Ford running the factory with slave labor should be a source of comfort for us. And he says, which it's not comforting at all to me, but it's like, oh, well, Ford's going to run that, so it's okay. No, it's not okay. And he says it's going to be a brick and mortar owned by Ford and not a JV. But I'm sorry if you, so it's avoiding the stigma of being a, and I'm going to put this in air quotes, Chinese factory. But we know better, do we not? I mean, just the fact that Ford's running it over in China, how do we know where the labor force is coming from? Those aren't Americans that are flying to China and working and living in China. These are Chinese citizens who have literally, they're doing work for the CCP or in conjunction with the CCP. They really have no say about their working conditions or how they're treated. Am I wrong about that?
Well, you're absolutely right about it. You know, right now, the China is experiencing another big pandemic, and the workers and that work environment is not safe. You know, and then the Xi Jinping's power is collapsing. The CCP's economy is collapsing. So why we're investing a big factory or a big business, on top of a volcano that's going to erupt at moments of notice? It doesn't make any sense.
And Joe Biden wants domestic production to help wean off the U.S. off of U.S. fossil fuels. And, I don't know that that's a good plan. I'd like to be energy independent. There's a big push for electric cars. This is all about changing our how we drive, how we, but consumers should drive that, not the government. The government shouldn't be telling us what we should eat, what we should drive, how far we should go from our homes. That's not the government's job. It's not the government's role. And government keeps bloating itself and getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And this is, again, government overreach. And we have to be aware that this is what's happening. So is there anything else about this that we need to know? Can you tell? So cattle is a, they make batteries, right? These are for electric cars, I'm assuming?
Yes, absolutely. I want to talk about cattle because the English name is cattle, but actually the Chinese name is named after a small town where the CCP leader Xi Jinping spent significant years before he rose to the power. Mm. So this is 100% CCP, and cattle has a global mission to use the resources from outside of China to build its own business. So that's economic aggression. And I just don't understand why the governor of Michigan didn't see this, unless they're being bought out by the CCP.
Okay, so remember the governor, remember who the governor of Michigan is. She's not our friend.
Whitmore.
Yeah. So, she's not one of us. I'm sure. It's amazing though, right? It's almost like these governors are part of the CCP, cheer squad. And you've got Gavin Newsom in California, Democrat. I know my governor, Katie Hobbs, Democrat, and we're making similar agreements. You've got Melissa Whitmer, a Democrat. This is not shocking or surprising. The concern to the U.S. government side is that they're trying to build a domestic battery market with Chinese plants in the U.S. So it's not bad enough that we're going over there to manufacture allegedly American made cars in a foreign country, when we could have American auto workers, and look at, we just had the strike, right? Now the Chinese want to come here and make their products, and again weaken our American markets. Is that the right way to go?
Yes, and then please consider any CCP owned or even joint venture companies on the U.S. soil. You can consider them a CCP cell, because the party will control that company in terms of the personnel training. And that's exactly what happened to the American companies doing business in China, that the CCP will instill a cell within the company, and then they will watch what people are saying, how you think, and then they will report you. And then you must comply with the CCP rule and the propaganda. So imagine, once you have a joint venture with a CCP-controlled company on the U.S. soil, say, in the great state of Michigan, that means all the workers working in that factory will be controlled indirectly by the CCP in terms of, the speech. They will watch your speech, and they will control your thoughts. And so that's very, very dangerous. That's like importing a CCP cell into a U.S. state.
And also, by doing this, by having these JVs, the China EV makers are providing cost advantages with their slave labor over Detroit's major three, Ford, General Motors, and Stellantis, and other vehicle makers who are making these products. So we've essentially, this is the stupidity of this Michigan governor. She's putting her own workers in Detroit out of jobs because the Chinese are producing these products at a lower cost, and ultimately companies are profit driven. with no regards for the human cost of Americans and American jobs. So this is wrong on so many levels. And so as we know, China's invested in mining industry. They've diversified. So it's not just even about the manufacturing. They go into farmland. They go into mining. Yeah. They are trying to assimilate and take over our country. And if that doesn't look dangerously familiar in recent months, it should. Automakers are struggling to get batteries and are forced. They're forced now to partner with Chinese companies. So if you're forced to do something, that's not free trade. And so we have a huge fight ahead of us to restore American manufacturing. And again, where do we find our biggest obstacle? Chinese firms, the CCP, and American companies that are willing to sell off our assets and our capabilities. So China has about 45% of the world's mining rights for lithium right now, and 70% of refining capacity for the naturally occurring metal. So 45% is not half, but close, and 70% is definitely more than half. So what are we doing so that they don't have 100% of the products for this?
Well, we shouldn't be providing them with the technology, because without technology, they cannot produce anything. But the thing is that all the technology that CCP has been using are supplied by the U.S. companies. The U.S. companies are forced to surrender the technology in order to gain access to the China market. And once they're in China market, they're being bullied, their office being raided. And then once they give up the technology, the CCP just kicked them out of the market, and the CCP create many Me Too products to replace those American companies. So I think that the CCP always talk about win-win, but actually for American companies, it's lose-lose.
Right.
So really, we have already seen so many failures. And so I really don't understand why there are still so many American companies want to continue that path to failure.
Well, and, Chinese companies like Cattle, they could build factories in Mexico, allowing it to become a hub in the supply chain for the U.S. market. But Governor Whitmer said that she wants to make Michigan a center for the EV battery supply chain. Chinese companies that actually want to come build facilities in the U.S. are probably going to be looking for those states that are going to be more welcoming. So it's like, here, come in, take our jobs. This is just government at its worst. It's naive to think that you can bring in foreign entities who want to produce a product and not better necessarily, just cheaper labor, and think that that's a good thing. It's displacing Americans and American jobs. Nicole, we're late for a break. We're going to take one, and we'll come back and finish up China Watch Wednesday. This is Kathleen Wynn. You're listening to Wynn Tucson on 1030 The Voice, your trusted local news and talk. Stay with us. We'll be back. Welcome back to Wynn Tucson. It is China Watch Wednesday. We are talking to Nicole Tsai, the new federal state of China. These are Chinese Americans who love this country. So everything from China is not bad, because I've got great friends and people that stand for the freedom that we have in this country. So, Nicole, I have to tell you, Chairman Gallagher was on Face the Nation, and I always, my husband, I'll squeal and I'll go, oh, look, they're covering something that we had on Wynn Tucson, and it's after we've covered it. So I always feel so smart when the national news media covers something that we've talked about. I just have to know it's a point of pride at my house. God bless my husband for getting excited with me. But they discovered that the owner of the biolab, this is what we talked about, I think maybe last week or the week before, was receiving all sorts of unexplained wire transfers to the tune of $2 million, which seems, in light of all the corruption and all the graft, $2 million now seems like it's $2 as opposed to $2 million from China. And Gallagher was making a statement that we don't have anything in place to stop this money laundering, which is shocking to me. So
it is It is very shocking. It is very shocking. Yes, indeed. We talk about this on China Watch 2 weeks before Mike Gallagher went on Face the Nation. So kudos to you. And then, so I have some update, you know, about yesterday. I saw an investigative report coming out indicating that this lab actually received a $360,000 tax credit.
Yes.
From Governor Gavin Newsom's Go Biz program.
Of course
and
you did.
and then this lab also received $2 million unexplained wire transfer from China. And so far, the FBI still hasn't done enough investigation to tell the U.S. taxpayer what is all about this CCP-controlled bio lab in California.
I'm sure the FBI is busy looking at architectural plans for their new building. It's maddening to me. Nicole, it's insane, but we have a caller, Kate. I'm sorry. Kate, welcome to Wynn Tucson. What would you like to ask Nicole?
Hi, Kathleen. Thank you. Nicole, I understand that December 1st is another day with the progression of the pandemic treaty with the World Health Organization and funding, and that if everyone does not participate in trying to stop this, that it will be finalized and our sovereignty will be given up by May of 2024. Do you know everything, what is actually occurring on December 1st and what we can do to stop it?
Well, I know that right now, and thanks for your call. So I know in China, there's a surge of the pandemic across the country. And then the CCP has announced that they will issue, they have allowed six countries from the West, like France, Germany, Italy, and Spain, and Netherlands, to visit the visitors to visit China without a visa. So that reminds me of the COVID-19 when China was experiencing a significant risk posed by the COVID-19. The CCP opened the international flights and invited people to visit China. So as far as I know that, the CCP will never miss a chance to launch bioterrorism against the entire world, and especially when Xi Jinping is facing so many crises, both at home and abroad. So I don't know exactly about the December 1, but what I can tell that the CCP will never stop for a second about its plan to destroy this world.
Yes, and Kate, just it's a great question, and I don't have the answer either. But we will do our research, and I guarantee you, we can devote some time to it. I realize December 1st is Friday, but I do believe that the World Health Organization, although they exist constitutionally, I don't believe that they can do what they're trying to do, and so it would go to a world court. But again, we need to do our research so we can give you a better answer. But it's a great question. See, Nicole, I have really smart people that listen to my show.
Yes, you do.
and Kate, thank you for the question, and we will do our work.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks for listening. So, Nicole, I want to go back to this because there is some. Thinking that Joe Biden might not be the Democrat nominee, and that it seems like they've been promoting or putting up Gavin Newsom. He seems to be getting a lot more press. But this is great news as far as I can see, that Gavin Newsom, his money dealings are similar to Joe Biden's money dealings. And Joe Biden's money dealings are at the root of all the problems that we're experiencing in this country. So if Gavin Newsom has the same pay-to-play policies that Joe Biden does, he's no better fit to be the president of the United States than our current president. I think that this is, and the fact that this lab that was creating bioweapons in his state, and he's giving them money to do that, he should be put in jail. Just my humble opinion.
Yeah, and I agree with you, and especially from the last Xi Jinping's visit to San Francisco, Gavin Newsom has already established himself as an official boy for he's Xi Jinping's boy, and so and that's So I think that's so self-explanatory, and American people can see that. We all can see that, and he's a proxy for Xi Jinping. He will represent the CCP's interest. Just look at how the CCP is able to infiltrate in California with a bioweapon lab, and UC Berkeley providing technology for CCP's military. And also the Silicon Valley Sequoia Capital become a big donor, in Washington, D.C. to corrupt our politicians. I mean, California is the most penetrated state in the CCP's playbook.
Well, California has been a willing participant, and it's no accident that that's where Xi Jinping came. The president came to California, not to D.C., Gavin Newsom rolled out the red carpet, literally, and again, it looked like China, not the U.S. There were more Chinese flags than American flags when he came, and that was we made it about China here on our ground, and so it looks like Gavin Newsom is the new puppet for the CCP in this country, and Melissa Whitmer wants to play along too, apparently. But we have to be aware, and they're not even trying to hide it. I think that's what's so disturbing to me, is that this is out in full view, is so that we can normalize it and make it acceptable. And it should never be acceptable that we sell off our country piece by piece by piece, but we are. There's a big for sale sign on the United States of America right now, and we've got to stop selling our heart and soul of this nation to a government that has no regard for the people and the founding fathers' vision for this country.
Yes, absolutely. We need to restore American heart and soul, and it starts with the China Watch every Wednesday with Win Tu Sound.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and I have to say, I do. I go out in the community. I'm involved in a lot of different things. I love Tucson. I love Arizona. I have been here since 1976, a long, 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 long time ago. I was 17 then, so somebody can do the math. But I can't tolerate what we're seeing now. In Tucson, Arizona is the worst place in the country right now with illegal immigration and our crime and our homelessness and our drug problems. And we've got to do better, and we've got to have leaders that understand and want to restore order and not create more chaos like Gavin Newsom. So we have come to the end of our time, Nicole, and in a couple of weeks, I have to tell people, Nicole's going to come visit Arizona, so we may try to get her down here to Tucson, because you've got a whole bunch of followers that love you. Thank you again. This has been China Watch Wednesday. I'm Kathleen Wynn. This is Wynn Tucson, and this has been 1030 The Voice, your trusted local news and talk. Tomorrow, a CHOA school and some updates. We're going to have fun tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.